This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. All praise is due to Allah, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon all those who follow his guidance, who follow his way until the last day. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we are going to explore a number of ahadith, prophetic traditions, prophetic words that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala has included in the final book of his compilation, Riyadu al-Salihin. He actually entitles this book, The Book of Miscellaneous Ahadith of Significant Values. And inshallah ta'ala, I intend on sharing with you a number of these important and significant prophetic words and prophetic traditions. The first hadith that I want to share with you is a hadith with a timely reminder. And it is encapsulating what will take place towards the end of time, towards the end of this world. What are some of the things that will take place in terms of disasters, in terms of agony and struggle and hardships? It is the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu wa arda, and it is originally found in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. So he makes an oath. وَالَّذِي, by the one in whose hand my soul is. In other words, by Allah, an oath. He said, the world will not come to an end until a man passes by a grave and will lie over it saying, would that I were in this grave. In other words, I wish I was dead. I wish that I was the occupant of this grave. He will actually wish to die. Many people, there's going to come a time. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, I wish I was dead. I wish I was not on top of the earth, but I wish I was underneath the earth, beneath the earth's surface. And so then he continues on and he says, not he will say so because of religious reasons, but because of widespread mischief and severe trials of this world. And so we learn that there would be such disasters and agony in the world that people will prefer death to life under such conditions. And this situation, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, will arise before the Day of Judgment. And so the Day of Judgment will actually dawn on such wicked people. So most of the people that will be around are wicked people. The next hadith that I want to share with you from this book is the hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu wa arda, that is found in Sahih Muslim. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, a time will come when a man will go about with alms from his gold and will not find anyone to receive it. So that a person will go around to give a sadaqah, to give zakat, and he will not find anybody that is deserving of this sadaqah, of this alms. And he will not find anyone to receive it. And one man will be seen being followed by 40 women dependent upon him on account of the scarcity of men and the excess of women. So there's going to come a time whereby the ratio of male to female is 1 to 40. For every one man, there will be 40 women. So this hadith, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, reveals one of the prophecies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which have not been fulfilled yet. One of them is that wealth will be abundant. There'll be a lot of wealth. There'll be no shortage of wealth. And that females will greatly exceed the males in number. And that this will happen due to what? The ulama said it could happen due to one of two reasons. It could be as a result of war. It could be that so many males, because they go to war, will die. And hence we have so many women left behind who are widows. Or it could be that the birth rate of females may exceed that of the males. This is the explanation that has been given regarding this hadith. Now, this next hadith that Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala included is a remarkable story, one of my favorite stories. It's a story which shows a lot of wisdom. And subhanallah, whoever is given wisdom, وَمَنْ يُؤْتَى الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Allah says, whoever has been given hikmah, hikmah means wisdom. Whoever has been given wisdom has been given a great deal of khair, a great deal of goodness. Many people today do not go about things in a wise way. Very hasty. Not patient, they're impatient. Al-hikmatu, hikmah, wisdom is to say the appropriate words in the appropriate manner, at the appropriate time and place. So we need to always weigh up our words, think about what we are about to say, and know, is this the right time and place? لِكُلِّ مَقَامٍ مَقَالٍ. A very famous expression that there is a time and place for everything. This story is told to us or narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu wa arda, who heard it from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is originally found in Bukhari and Muslim. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were two women. Each had her child with her. Two mothers, each one had her child with her. And a wolf came and took away the child of one of them. A wolf came and took away the child of one of these two women. So one woman said to her companion, said to the other, she said, the wolf has taken your son. The wolf has taken your son. The other said, the other woman present, she said, it has taken your son, not my son. So now they are disputing as to whose son was taken. Obviously they were very in their infancy and could not really tell them apart. So both of them took the dispute to one of the prophets of Allah at that time. Which prophet was it? Does anybody know? It was taken to Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. Prophet Dawood, Prophet David, who was given the Psalms, the Zabur. Prophet David, Prophet Dawood alayhi salatu was salam. So Dawood alayhi salam, he judged that the boy should be given to the older lady. So one of the two ladies was the older lady, one was the younger one. Then they went, it's like they wanted a second opinion. So who did they go? They went to another prophet who is the son of Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. Who is he? Who is the son of Dawood? Sulaiman. Sulaiman alayhi salam. Solomon. Prophet Solomon Sulaiman alayhi as-salatu was-salam. The son of Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. And they put the case before him. And Prophet Sulaiman, he said, give me a knife so that I may cut the child into two and give one half to you and one half to you. That's what I'm going to do. You both arguing about the child and disputing, we'll cut him in half, we'll give you half each. So the younger woman said, don't do this. لا تفعل. Do not do this. May Allah bless you. He is her child. So the younger woman is saying, don't do this, give the child to the older one. Remember that Prophet Dawood had already given her the child to the older one, had given the child to the older one anyway. So the younger one is saying, look, don't do so, give the child to the older one. So who did now Sulaiman judge in favor of, the older one or the younger one? The younger one. The younger one. So he ruled in favor of the younger one. How did you know this? Because you know the story, or because you know where he's getting at? He's using the wisdom. That's right. He's being wise. He said, "Don't do so, may Allah bless. Give it to the younger one. He is, and so he said, he is her child. So when she said, give to the older one, the Prophet Sulaiman decided in the favor of the younger woman. Because obviously, she didn't want that to happen to the child. It must be her child. It must have been her child to say that. So again, we know that it's very important to have wisdom. Now this form of trickery, okay, is permissible. This form of trickery is permissible as to have a positive outcome. Now the next hadith is basically prophesizing the demise and the disappearance and the death of pious people as one of the signs of the Day of Judgment. One of the signs of the Day of Judgment is that there will be the demise of pious people. It is the hadith of Mirdas Al-Aslami radiyallahu anhu, that he said, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, يَذْهَبُ الصَّالِحُونَ الْأَوَّلُ فَالْأَوَّلُ. He said, the pious men will depart one after another. يَذْهَبُ الصَّالِحُونَ الْأَوَّلُ فَالْأَوَّلُ وَتَبْقَى حُثَالَةٌ كَحُثَالَةِ الشَّعِيرِ أَوِ التَّمَرِ. And he said, the dregs of people like the sediment of barley or dates will remain. لا يباليهم الله باله. He said, Allah will not raise them in value and esteem. So during the last days, near the Day of Judgment, pious persons will not remain. And only the wicked people will inhabit the earth, and the Day of Judgment will dawn on such bad people. So much of the good people would have died and moved on. And so the Qiyamah, the Day of Judgment, will dawn upon people who were wicked or evil or non-practicing or disbelievers. The next hadith, Imam al-Nawawi included, is the hadith of Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with Ibn Umar and his father Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu wa arda. And the hadith is found in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِقَوْمٍ عَذَابًا أَصَابَ الْعَذَابُ مَنْ كَانَ فِيهِمْ ثُمَّ بُعِثُوا عَلَىٰ أَعْمَالِهِمْ. He said, if Allah afflicts punishment upon a nation, it befalls the whole population indiscriminately. So sometimes what's going to happen is there's going to be this punishment from Allah Azza wa Jal upon a people. And the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal will include the good and the bad. So the good people may be affected by this. And when, or he said, and then they will be resurrected. All of these people are going to be resurrected and judged according to their deeds. So, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment comes to pass, it does not distinguish between the upright and the wicked. However, the pious people will be saved from the punishment after their death, while the wicked ones will be punished in the hell. So this is one of the hadith that Imam al-Nawawi also included as one of the significant hadiths. This next hadith that he included is truly a miracle. From amongst the miracles that took place at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the hadith is found in Sahih al-Bukhari. And many of you know this story. Everybody loved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the Muslims, and even those who before Islam knew the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they loved him due to his truthfulness, and due to his good character, and due to his manners. Even inanimate objects. This hadith, the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu, there was a trunk of a date palm tree upon which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to recline while delivering the khutbah, the sermon. When a pulpit, a minbar, was placed in the masjid, we heard the trunk crying out like a pregnant she-camel. The trunk that he used to lean on before using the minbar, it began to weep, it began to cry, missing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came down from the pulpit, from the minbar, and he put his hand on the trunk and it became quiet. He put his noble hand on the trunk and it became quiet. Another narration is, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to stand by a tree or a date palm on Friday to give the khutbah. Then an Ansari woman, one of the women of Medina, then an Ansari woman or man said, "O Allah's Messenger, shall we make a pulpit for you?" He replied, "If you wish." So they made a pulpit for him. And when it was Friday, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sat on the pulpit to deliver the khutbah. And the trunk of the date palm on which he used to recline cried out as if it would split asunder. It was crying very heavily. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had to quiet down this trunk of the tree as if it was a child, as if it was a baby. Now Ibn Hajar, who is the commentator of Sahih al-Bukhari, he has a book called Fathul Bari. He said that there is evidence in this hadith that Allah can endow inanimate objects with a special sense or feeling like that of animals. And that the hadith also shows one of the numerous miracles that took place during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The next hadith that I want to share with you is how important it is for a Muslim to learn from his mistakes. When we make mistakes, we learn from those mistakes. There are many lessons that we learn from the mistakes that we make in our day-to-day lives. So it's not a problem. It's not so much problematic that you make mistakes and that you need to be looking forward to the lessons that you will learn from those mistakes. But it is problematic when a person makes the same mistake twice. Did you not learn from the mistake the first time? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he put it beautifully in the hadith collected by Bukhari and Muslim, hadith Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "La yuldaghu al-mu'minu min juhrin wahidin marratain," that a believer should not be stung twice from the same hole, Or in English, we probably say, you do not fall into the same hole twice. You fell the first time, you should know that it's there now. You should have learnt a lesson that it exists there. So we should take heed of the mistakes that we are making in life and not fall into mistake and error again. We need to learn from our mistakes, insha'Allah ta'ala. The next hadith is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda, and again it talks about the end of time and what will take place. And this hadith is found in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, between the two blowing of the trumpet, there will be an interval of 40. And the people said, Ya Abu Huraira, O Abu Huraira, do you mean 40 days? What do you mean by the interval being 40? He said, I cannot say anything. They said, do you mean 40 years? He said, I cannot say anything. Do you mean 40 months? He said, I cannot say anything. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam added, everything of the human body will perish except the last bone, the end part of the spinal cord. Okay, this is known as ajab or ajab al-dhanb. He said that, and from that bone, Allah will reconstruct the whole body. Then Allah will send down water from the sky and people will grow like green vegetables. You see, what we learn from this hadith, number one, that there will be two blowing of the horns. We know, for example, the word for the horn as mentioned in the Quran is the sur. يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ فِي الصُّورِ. A sur is the horn. And that the one who blows this horn twice is which angel? What's his name? Israfil. Israfil is the name of the angel that has been created for this purpose, waiting for the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he will blow it a first time and then there will be, everybody will die. Everybody will faint or everybody will come to pass. And then there will be an interval of 40. Abu Huraira is not sure whether it's 40 days, 40 months, 40 years. Only Allah knows. And then there will be a second blowing, and that is the blowing of resurrection, where people will be resurrected from their tailbone, because all people will perish except for the prophets. Prophets and messengers do not perish in their graves. Their bodies stay intact. And also the bodies of martyrs, of shuhada. And there have been many reports of martyrs who have died and yet their bodies have been years later dug up for whatever reason and their bodies are intact. As if they had just died. As for everybody else, their bodies will decompose. Except for one part of the body, which is the last bone of the tailbone. That is like your ID card. Your ID. And on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will marry up the souls from the spiritual world with that bone, and there will be a fluid that will rain down from the heavens. And then the bodies will grow as if they are like vegetables growing. And that's what we have learned from this hadith. So he also mentions when a timely reminder about when will the hour take place? When will the day of judgment take place? As per this hadith that is collected by Imam al-Bukhari. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda, he narrates that once Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was speaking to us when a Bedouin came and asked him. He said to him, Mata as-sa'a? When is the hour? The hour is in reference to the day of judgment and when it will take place. Mata as-sa'a. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he continued his talk, and some of those present thought that he had heard him but disliked the interruption, and the other said that he had not heard him. And when Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concluded his speech, he asked, "Where is the one who inquired about the last day? Ayna as-sa'ilu 'an as-sa'ah?" Where is that person who asked about the hour? And he said, "Here I am. Ha ana ya Rasulullah." And so then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Idha ضيعت الأمانة فانتظر الساعة. إذا ضيعت الأمانة فانتظر الساعة." He said, "When the practice of honoring a trust is lost, expect the last day." He asked, "How? كيف إضاعتها?" How is it that the trust is lost? How is it that the trust is lost? And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Idha wussida al-amru ila ghayri ahlihi fantadhir as-sa'ah." Listen to this, very important words that many of us can relate to. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the government, in other words, is entrusted to the undeserving people, so the people who are leading the world, when you give them that trust, that amanah, and when you're giving the amanah to undeserving people, then be prepared for the hour. Then get ready. The hour is near. The hour is near. When there are leaders who are not deserving to be leaders and controlling a people, a country, a city, then expect soon, very soon, the hour will come about. So this is a hadith, a prophecy of when the hour will take place. When leaders are going to be wicked, unjust, and undeserving. The next hadith, hadith Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu wa ardah, that we find in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Yusalluna lakum fa idha asabu falakum wa in akhta'u falakum wa alayhim." He said, "Your leaders will lead you in salat, in prayer. If they conduct it properly, you and they will be rewarded. But if they make mistakes, you will earn the reward and they will be held responsible for the mistakes." So in other words, when you are standing behind an imam for prayer, if the imam is right, if the imam has completed the salat in the correct way, then both the imam is rewarded and you are rewarded accordingly. But if the imam is incorrect, then you just have to follow with the imam. The imam is there to be followed. Then your salat is still right, and whatever mistake he made falls upon him and not upon you. So we have to follow the imam and not worry whether he got it right or got it wrong. Yes, we have a duty to correct the imam by saying subhanallah. Or in the case of a woman, correcting an imam is by clapping, making a gesture with her hand and some noise. The next hadith, and it's the last hadith that I want to mention for today, inshallah ta'ala, it talks about the dearest parts of the earth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu wa arda, that is found in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Ahabbu al-biladi ila Allahi masajiduha." That the most beloved places, that the most beloved parts on the face of the earth nearest to Allah are its masajid, its mosques. Allah loves these places. So we should love these places. Whatever Allah loves, we should love. Whatever Allah has honored, we should honor. Whatever Allah has placed great emphasis on, we too should treat very seriously. This is part of your taqwa. ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. That whoever exalts, honors the symbols of Allah, then that is a sign of the taqwa of the hearts. And he goes on and he says, وَأَبْغَضُ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَسْوَاقُهَا. And the most hated parts near Allah or to Allah are its markets, are its shopping centers, in other words. The worst parts, why? Because you will find in shopping centers much lying, much gossiping, people committing haram, deception, deceiving, gazing at the opposite gender. So this is why as Muslims we should not spend much of our times at the marketplaces, in the shopping centers, because it leads to much mischief and sin and transgressing the limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set. And so these are some words and some hadith that I wanted to leave you with, inshallah ta'ala. But before I do, this next hadith, which complements this hadith that we just mentioned, just to end off on this note, the hadith of Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu wa arda, whereby the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not, if you can help, be the first to enter the market and the last to leave it, because it is an arena of shaitan. And the standard of shaitan is set there. So try not to be the first to enter or the last to enter. It's an arena for shaitan and his agents to work on you and to derail your derail your iman and to make you enter into haram. So let us always populate the masajid of Allah and not so much populate the marketplaces, and only go there for the sake of necessity and need, and to go at times where there will not be so many people and so much fasad and corruption and evil. جزاكم الله خيرا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته